Good evening. What's going on? It's Paul Allen at the Vikings Entertainment Network Studios, beginning X's and O's with head coach Leslie Frazier, and we also have defensive line coach Brendan Daly. Ryan Donaldson, please take us out of audition. We start the show live from the Vikings Entertainment Network because of some big news involving the Cleveland Browns. Here's how it works to bring you behind the scenes of the Vikings Radio Network. On Wednesdays, I come to Winter Park, take in some practice, and tape a couple of interviews for X's and O's with Leslie Frazier, one with the head coach Leslie Frazier and another with an assistant coach. We taped those interviews earlier today, and a fair amount of the interviews involved what we thought was the best offensive player for the Cleveland Browns, Trent Richardson, who just was traded to the Indianapolis Colts. In fact, within the last hour, Trent Richardson, the third overall pick of the 2012 draft, traded to the Indianapolis Colts for a first round pick in the 2014 draft. Now, that third overall pick in the 2012 draft was acquired from the Minnesota Vikings, so Cleveland, at that time, led by Pat Shurmur and offensive coordinator Brad Childress, they wanted to move up to get Tony Richardson. The Vikings, in the four spot, took Matt Khalil and also amassed some picks down the road. The new coach for the Cleveland Browns is Rob Chudzinski. The new offensive coordinator is Norv Turner. They decided they would trade Trent Richardson for the first-round pick the Indianapolis Colts will have in the 2014 draft. So how does this play into the Mall of America field game this weekend at noon? The Cleveland Browns now will be without their starting quarterback, Brandon Whedon, out with a sprained thumb. We talked extensively with Leslie Frazier and defensive line coach Brendan Daly about that. And they also will be without Trent Richardson, who was traded to the Indianapolis Colts. On the depth chart, the immediate backup to Richardson is a guy named Bobby Rainey in his second year from Western Kentucky. Through two games this year, Rainey has no carries and obviously no yards. He's the primary kickoff return guy for the Cleveland Browns. According to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports, the Browns are working out veteran Willis McGahee, who most likely will be the running back for the Cleveland Browns when they come to Mall of America Field this weekend. Willis played for the Denver Broncos the last 2 years. He started nine games last year, averaged 4.5 yards per carry with four touchdowns. So for the Cleveland Browns, they come to town this weekend not only using Brian Hoyer at quarterback, but potentially Willis McGahee as their featured back, with his backup being kick return guy Bobby Rainey. Now, Trent Richardson, well, he was having a nondescript season. In his last game, he averaged 3.2 yards per carry. In fact, over his last game, his last eight games, Trent Richardson only was able to cross 3.6 yards per carry one time. That's certainly in no way to say his young career is in decline, but for whatever the reason, the Cleveland Browns opted to trade him to Indianapolis for Indianapolis's first-round pick next year, and that keeps you up to date here on the Vikings Radio Network, where we have interviews with Leslie Frazier and defensive line coach Brendan Daly coming your way now. I started off with the head coach off the 0-2 start, asking him, Leslie, does anything make you happy? Is there anything good right now?
The fact that we are coming to Mall of America Field to have our home opener. That gets me excited, gets our team excited. You know, we're looking forward to playing in front of our fans.
Harrison Smith's off to a good start, isn't he?
He really is. He's having a great start to the season, making a lot of big plays for us. And, you know, we were hoping that would be the case in his sophomore year, and he's having a great start.
Jeff Locke had a nice bounce-back game at Chicago, didn't he?
Yeah, we needed that. As you know, Devin Hester is a handful, and Jeff did a great job on Sunday, and we're going to need that again this week.
Your left tackle, Matt Khalil, he seemed to be a little slow to go in the preseason, might have had some bad moments in the Lions game. It seemed from afar like he had a decent game at Chicago. Is that true?
Matt improved, and we need that from Matt Khalil. He's one of those guys who we count on our offensive line to play well every week. Both of our tackles, Phil Lothold as well. So we can't afford to have him to have an off game. We need him to have a good game all the way through. And we had a number of guys that stepped up on Sunday and made a lot of good plays for us. The strip fumble by Jarrett, the pickup by Brian Robinson, I mean, the interception by Harrison. I mean, just a number of guys did good things. Greg Jennings stepping up and making big plays for fours. Cordero Patterson with the kickoff return. So we had a lot of guys who made big plays. So it was a good day in that regard.
Your quarterback had the pick six in the first half, had some uneven moments in the first half. 10 of 16, 146 yards in the second half. A lot of the guys were wide open, and he found them, including nice pass to Jennings inside the 10. Don't get me wrong. How is Christian progressing into this game against Cleveland? A sneaky good defense and a very good front seven.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they're a very good front seven. They're very stout against the run as well. I mean, only giving up about 2 yards a carry, 59 yards a game. So they're playing great run defense. So I'm going to have a handful there. But Christian, he's doing well in practice. It was great to see him come out and play as well as he did in the second half. We needed that, you know, from the quarterback position, and we want to build on that. And it's going to be important now that we can start a game that way and then finish the game as well.
You mentioned at your Monday press conference that fans and media members and everybody should expect Cordero Patterson to play more this week. I think it was five plays the first game, six the second, or vice versa. For what reason has he not been more part of the offense to this stage?
Just more of, you know, our having packages for him, but not keeping him on the field after we get him on for a couple plays or a play. We need to leave him on the field and let him continue to get, you know, reps in that way, and we plan on doing that in this ballgame.
And for a quarterback who's at 58% right now, you're trying to get his completion percentage up. You know, you're trying to build his confidence and continue to build Christian Ponder. Isn't the short game of Cordero Patterson, isn't that something that would really complement what Christian does?
Yeah, we were hoping that that'll be the case. I mean, when he caught the screen pass and gained 14 yards, yep. I mean, those are the kind of plays you like to see happen. And that definitely helps with the completion percentage as well.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but on that play, Joe Webb had a really good block down the field, I think on Tim Jennings.
You're right. I mean, that's one of Joe's strengths. He's one of those guys who can go in and block a linebacker and for sure safety or defensive a corner.
Leslie Frazier, X's and O's from the Vikings Entertainment Network. I'm Paul Allen. Brandon Whedon with the sprained thumb will not play. They skip over Jason Campbell to go to Brian Hoyer at quarterback. Right. How do you handle that?
Well, we're going to have to do a little studying on Brian and get to know him a little bit through what he did in the preseason as well as his time there in Arizona a season ago, and just get familiar with him.
Do you have to make sure with members of your defense, just because the majority of them probably haven't heard of Brian Hoyer, that they don't get a little overconfident? We're at home. We're going to have the crowd on our side. Who's Brian Hoyer? And then all of a sudden he zips something down the field for 40 yards, and they'll figure out who he is quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's more than capable. The fact that he's on an NFL roster tells you that. He's a fifth-year pro, so he's hung around for a reason. He's got talent.
I don't want to harp on the Chicago loss too much, and we'll move on to exclusively Cleveland for the final 4 minutes, but how surprised are you at Chicago that you guys won the take give, you had a defensive touchdown and a kick return touchdown, and lost the game?
Yeah.
That's like a statistical anomaly, Leslie. Yeah. That never happens.
No, it doesn't usually happen. But when you give up what we gave up on kickoff return, when you give up pick sixes, it kind of balances itself out. And that's what you don't want to see happen. When you're, I mean, they scored on defense also. They had great returns like we had great. So it's, you know, we don't want to balance those things out. We don't want that to happen.
Excellent point. Their tight end Jordan Cameron used to play power forward at the University of Southern California. He's in his third year. He's averaging 102 yards per game. They have one touchdown. It went to him. What makes Jordan Cameron pretty good?
Well, he's one of those guys who's a capable blocker, more than capable as a blocker, but he also has the ability to run very good routes. He's got good hands. He seems to be a smart football player, but he has some toughness about him as well and real soft hands. So you put that combination together and you have a pretty good athlete.
How did Kevin Williams do in his 2013 debut?
He came back and played well for us. He was a stabilizing force on our defensive line. The interception he got in the end zone, that was big for us to stop a drive by Chicago. So it was great to have him back.
You've coached Kevin Williams for many years, Leslie, whether it be a defensive coordinator or head coach. When he starts this weekend, he'll have the most starts at defensive tackle in the history of the Minnesota Vikings, passing Alan Page. What has made Kevin Williams so dominant over the years?
Well, he's one of those guys, you know, you have to be available in order to do what he's done from a number standpoint. So he's one of those guys who doesn't miss a lot of games. He stays usually on the field. He stays healthy, and he works hard, and he takes care of his body. But then he's blessed with a tremendous amount of talent, and he's a smart football player, Paul. As gifted as he is as an athlete, he's a very bright football player who could, you know, if he chose to, be a good coach as well. But his talent combined with his smarts, that's the difference.
Leslie, Cordero Patterson begins the game getting to the house from 105. five. After that, you saw Robbie Gould move him left and right. Mm. Do you expect that to be the case for the rest of the year if they're not touchbacks out of the end zone?
That may be the case. I mean, when you put a return on tape like he did, then people are leery of kicking the ball to you, or they're going to try to move you around like they did. And so that may be the strategy going forward.
It's a home game, as you mentioned earlier, and your first two are on the road, divisional games. You have the London game after that. Have you had to guard against people, players, coaches, and just people within the organization not focusing too much on London because a lot goes into it, and kind of reminding people, hey, we got Cleveland here in between?
Yeah, we've had those moments. I mean, when you're the home team, there's so much involved. So it's been a challenge in some ways, but, you know, we got to stay focused on the Cleveland Browns.
45 seconds to go with Leslie Frazier. Identify a few significant keys to winning Sunday against Cleveland.
Well, we got to do a good job, Paul, of being able to protect the football. You know, we haven't played a game yet where we've been able to not turn the ball over, so we want to be able to do a better job there. We also want to do a better job in stopping the run. I mean, we got to do a good job in that area, but we want to continue to take the ball away. Our defense has done a great job in these first two games of taking the ball away.
Yep.
And we have to do a better job on special teams, in this case, this week, covering punts. Travis Benjamin is an outstanding punt returner.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Brendan Daly, defensive line coach, is coming up shortly. We invite you to celebrate the return of Vikings football. Kick off the 2013 NFL season with the Vikings Back to Football 5K Run presented by Twin Cities Orthopedics. The run is Saturday in downtown Minneapolis. For information, visit Vikings.com/run. What's going on? Welcome back to X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. I'm the play-by-play guy, Paul Allen. We invite you to join me and Paul Charchi on Friday for the Friday Football Feast from 9 until noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Coon Rapids. Get the complete schedule at Vikings.com or on my show page at KFAN.com. Very happy now to be joined by Brendan Daly. He is a defensive line coach here for the Minnesota Vikings. He has been here for two stints, overall a five-year defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. We welcome you to the show, and we lost you there in the middle for a little bit to St. Louis, didn't we?
You did, but I'm excited to be back and having a blast. Involved in a different scheme there in St. Louis, which was a great experience for me. You see how another organization does things. I've always said in football, there's not right and wrong. There's just different. There's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, so to speak. And
yeah.
They work in various places, so it's interesting to grow and learn from that standpoint, different philosophies in terms of how they do their personnel and the scheme of the football and just the overall structure of the program.
How much did he end up giving you?
Quite a bit, actually.
Talking about defensive end Chris Long. Well, because before you got there, Chris was a highly selected individual who wasn't doing much.
Yep.
You come there. I'm not going to put it all on you, but his career takes off. He gets a mammoth deal, and then you leave and come here. So he had to cut you in a little bit, didn't he?
You know, you'd like to think so, but part of the process, I guess. Chris, I caught him kind of at the right time. You know, he was he had kind of worked through some growing pains early in his career, and we worked through some of those as I was there as well. But he's one of those guys that was such a great worker, was willing to do whatever you asked, and it was fun to see him grow the way he has and still have a great relationship and still kind of follow him each from week to week, you know, see what he's doing.
As defensive line coach here for the Minnesota Vikings, not putting you in Alan Williams' spot or Leslie Frazier's spot, but whenever I have assistant coaches, specifically position coaches for X's and O's, I like to start it by getting just your general overview of the opponent's offense. In this case, the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Cleveland's an interesting group. You know, they've got a similar offensive line, four of the five guys, and really if they get healthy, probably five of the same starters returning from a year ago. The tight end, Cameron Jordan, is an excellent player, in my opinion. Really good ball skills, runs well. And, you know, it'll be interesting. They're getting their receiver, Josh Gordon, back this week, who hasn't played for a couple of weeks, so we'll have to deal with him coming back into the mix.
Their left tackle, Joe Thomas, came into the league the same year Adrian did. He's a six-time Pro Bowler. Waller. Him on Jared Allen's side of the ball. That's one of the marquee matchups in this game. But from Joe's standpoint, your defensive line goes against Matt Khalil and has for a year and change. Matt's upper echelon left tackle. Joe's about as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, Joe's excellent. I've only actually played Cleveland once since he's been there, but going into the game, I thought he was one of the elite guys, and coming out of the game, I had to go up to him and tell him what a great job he did and what I thought of him. He was equally as impressive during the game, if not more so. I think he's one of the better guys out there right now, and that's going to be a great matchup for us. Jared loves those matchups.
To your guys, let's begin with Jared Allen. Through two games, what kind of a start is he off to?
He's had a quality couple of ball games. Obviously had the big play against Chicago with the sack fumble, but has had some quality rushes all the way through. It's good to see him with that inside arm back a little bit, coming off of the surgery. It is a definite difference where he's at with that inside arm and the ability to counter back inside. So we've seen some of that. We need to see more of it, but he's had a nice couple of weeks. We need to have him come along and continue growing and bring the rest of us with him, so to speak.
Does he still see a massive amount of attention most downs?
Yeah, he does. I guess, you know, we had a lot of chip in the first ball game against Detroit. You know, Chicago has done a much better job in terms of protecting with the number of blockers and some max protection looks. So, yeah, we get some of that stuff, and we kind of expect it. He does a good job trying to work his way through it and really understanding what he's going to get and trying to help himself and get himself some cover so that he can work.
Brendan Daly, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, is on X's and O's, and I'm Paul Allen. The quarterbacks you faced through the first two games, kind of an interesting dichotomy. You know, Matthew Stafford goes back on like 737 drops or more, passes-wise, that is, in the an NFL record in the first game. Only sacked 29 times last year, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Gets rid of it quickly. Jay Cutler would go on seven-step drops and hold it too long and get obliterated, but that wasn't the case last Sunday, was it?
No, they've done a nice job there, and they're doing a couple of things, in my opinion. Cutler's getting the ball out a little bit quicker. They're not taking as many down the field shots as they have in the past, and they're protecting. They're using a lot more seven-man protection than they have in the past in Chicago, and I'd also say that they upgraded in terms of personnel through that offensive line.
Now, through the first two games, Brendan, speaking of down the field shots, Brandon Marshall gets a touchdown down the field, but other than that, they did not throw deep much, if at all. The Lions never threw the ball deep. Is that because your pass rush, specifically with your four defensive linemen you use most, is so well respected, teams want to get rid of the ball quickly?
You know, that may be part of it. Detroit, I think that's just who they are. They are a short, rhythmic passing game. They get the ball out. They've got a lot of five receivers out, so they're not going to protect it and take deep down the field shots. You know, Chicago's changed a little bit, I think. You know, obviously, they've. You know, I think the one they threw to Marshall even was an audible where they you know, looked at the coverage and thought they had a one-on-one matchup and took a shot at it. So, yeah, the teams, I don't know if that's based on our pass rush or just what they want to do or a combination of both, probably.
Brian Robinson, I thought, had a wonderful preseason. He's parlayed it into some really aggressive plays in the regular season. It looks like he's very fast right now. Is he off to a great start?
He's playing well. He really is. He had a really solid game for us on Sunday at Chicago. Had actually one of the smartest plays that I've seen on the screen played in the two-minute drill at the end of the game where it was a formation ID thing. We kind of had a pre-snap tendency that we had an idea that it may be coming, but he not only recognized it but made a great play on the back and had him in a horse collar tackle situation and had the awareness to let go of it and not get a flag on the play, which was it was an impressive down, in my opinion.
What stabilized for you having Kevin Williams back?
You know, Kevin provides a veteran leadership in there for us that is excellent. He's a tremendous communicator in terms of the third down stuff. He provides some rush, no question, but the biggest thing he does is he gets the game set and he gets things organized and he makes the calls in there for the defensive line, which it requires somebody to help get all four of those guys on the same page in terms of what we're going to do with the rush, and he's excellent at doing that.
When LaTroy Guyon stripped the ball and took it from Matt Forte late in the game, it was on the complete other side of the field from where you are. Did you know he stole the ball from him? Because calling the game,
I thought a fight was breaking out. I thought something happened after the play and everybody was going after LaTroy, but indeed he just stole the ball from Matt Forte.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal play. I mean, he just literally went in and took the thing. I actually had an angle. I was kind of back behind the line of scrimmage a little bit, and so I was able to see him come around, and then I saw him pop up with the ball. So I thought he had done what he did, which as I went back and watched on tape, he actually, it was more than just the finish on the play. We had a blitz called on the down, and he executed the stunt absolutely perfectly. He came around on the twist portion of it and blew up the fullback, actually, before he adjusted his angle and took off running to make the play on Forte. It was just a really good football play.
Sharif Floyd, the rookie from Florida, how's he starting out?
You know, Sharif had some things in the first game against Detroit from a technique standpoint that we worked on through the course of the week, and he ended up fixing. I thought he played considerably better in the second ball game from the first, and he, you know, it's fun to watch him grow even from the second game. There's a couple of things we come out of saying, listen, we got to get this fixed, and you see a sense of urgency with that guy to get things right. It bodes well for where he's going to go and where he's going to help this team go.
When Sharif gets to a point where he plays 40, 50, 60 plays a game, what do you think he will be best at? What can you tell is his true natural talent?
You know, honestly, I think he has some tremendous football instincts. The example I would give you is early in the game or somewhere in the middle of the game against Chicago, they run a trap play, and he runs up the field, and they absolutely ear hole him. Jared ends up helping us out, but it's an 11-yard gain. Bad play. Really, he's the guy that's got to make the play for us. It's him and him alone. They come back, I don't know, two or three series later, run the exact same play, and it's a highlight reel of how you would play that play.
Yeah.
And so you see the kid grow. You see him, from an instinctual standpoint, fix things very quickly and get better as he sees the same thing throughout the course of the game, which is a really unique trait.
Two to go with Brendan Daly, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. This is X's and O's. Everson Griffin, is he off to a slow start?
Yeah, a little bit. He and I have had a couple of conversations. We actually expect a lot more production from Everson than what we've had over the first couple of weeks. He had some really nice plays in the run game a week ago, did an excellent job striking their tight ends, but from a pass rush standpoint, we got to get more out of him, and I think he'd be the first one to tell you that.
Cleveland is using Brian Hoyer, who started a game last year for Arizona. No Brandon Weeden. They're going to skip over Jason Campbell and use Brian Hoyer, who used to play at Michigan State and also was a backup at New England. What do you tell your guys into a game like this? I mean, he's an NFL quarterback, but do you have to protect from the potential of overconfidence?
Yeah, absolutely. And truthfully, if you look at Brian, and we got to do a little bit more study on him specifically, but he's a guy who's hung around in this league for a number of years now. This isn't a second or third year guy. He's been in the league. He's been through a number of teams, which means if he's hanging around for that long a period of time, he's doing something right. And he's got a skill set. Now, it may not be, you know, the same as what we were going to see from a Jason Campbell or Brandon Weeden or Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, whoever it may be. But the guy's an NFL quarterback. He's capable of playing. He's capable of beating you. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in the uniform.
Good luck this weekend. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
Brendan Daly, defensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings. We invite you to enter to win an exclusive VIP trip to see the Vikings play at Green Bay, courtesy of Crown Royal Blended Canadian Whiskey. Go to Vikings.com/Crown Royal to enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older. Please drink responsibly. The producers for this show were Joe Nelson and Ryan Donaldson. On site, Jay Nelson. For all of us here with the flagship, FM 100.3 The Fan and the Vikings Entertainment Network, I'm Paul Allen. That's X's and O's on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Hey, this is Matt Burke, and you're listening to The Fan.